Welcome to the December edition of the podcast, our final edition for the year 2012. I will be back next year with more Minnesota writers, but more about that later. We are, as I sit here in the Twin Cities on a Saturday afternoon recording this, under a weather advisory, because weather experts have predicted that Minnesota in December is going to get snow. It's fine with me, really, because it's the holiday season and snow makes it look like the holiday season. And if we get enough snow, I have an excuse not to go out and shop. Our theme this month is Gifted, and our featured writer returns from January when she helped us kick off the podcast. It's Britt Ahmet, and this is her story. Merry Christmas, Sergeant Pet.
It was late, and everyone had left the Komodo but Charlie flight. Those that left joined the throng spilling from the 100 strip joints stringing the bill. They lurched to the main gate of Osan Air Force Base. Wiley stuck his head out and rushed back in.
What day is it? Yo, anyone, day.
December 22nd, I hollered over the thump of dance music. A Filipina in spiked heel boots, micro skirt, and Santa cap swayed for two airmen who passed a cigarette between them and then wandered off. The party was over. The Ajumma had retired her serving tray to wipe down the tables. Juicy girls lazed on chairs, neither happy nor sad to see their clients go. The hour was late, and the airmen were hard work.
Duh, Harkness, I know the 22nd part, said Wiley. Day of week, chickie.
Someone told him the day. It was a Monday or Tuesday, some day of the week other than a weekend day, which meant an early curfew and work in the morning for the airmen already at the gates, swerving, tottering, but in sufficient possession of their faculties to produce military IDs for the SPs and wait until they got inside to fall down. Tomorrow was a work day at Osan, followed by Christmas vacation. But for those of us on Charlie flight, it was break. 3 days, three swings or mids, followed by 3 days off, and then the cycle repeated. We'd lost track of weekends and weekdays long ago, because they didn't matter. Our 9-day rotation put us out of sync with the rest of the base, the SPs, the fire dogs, CE, the pilots, and their pretty wives, who were always prettier than enlisted wives. We had blackout curtains in our rooms and signs on our doors that read, Day Sleeper. Shh. To alert everyone else, we were different. Apart. When the base was on duty, we slept. When they played, we worked. When they ganged to the clubs buying soju and juicy girls with the Korean currency that looked a little like play money, we humped to our secure facility that was hollowed into a hill and had no windows and no way of telling us what time it was. It was always twilight on the operations floor.
Do I have to spell it out for y'all? Said Wiley. It's an early curfew night. Gotta hit now or the SPs will be on our ass.
Don't you mean asses? Said Belle, who, like Cho and me, was a short timer on the Korean Peninsula. We'd put in our year and were headed to a stateside base, or in Cho's case, home, in a week. We were the luckiest people on the peninsula, and we knew it. Cho tipped her soju into my glass. I can't finish it.
Like I can, I said.
She nudged me. You need to celebrate. So I toasted the table. Here's to my, hopefully, last soju experience in Korea. And quaffed the glass to applause. There were four of us at the table. The three females, me, Cho, and Belle. And Airman Sawyer, who had a crown of thorns tattooed around his bicep. And a wife and baby stateside. He was 21. The table was small, but we could have fit another. Only we'd scrunched in such a way that Wiley was forced to stand and circulate with the juicies, which he would have done anyway. He knew every juicy in the ville. We weren't trying to exclude Wiley. He was one of us. The one we wanted to keep out was Sergeant Pett. A half hour ago, the sergeant had hauled over a chair and now sat outside our circle, slumped, a cigarette burning in his fingers. Sergeant Pett had arrived 2 months after us,
and had one more stripe. He was a staff sergeant to our senior airman. Those things alone might have shut him from our group, but he turned our workplace chatter into verbal warfare, which only he could win. We talked a lot at work because our shifts were long and there wasn't much else to do. Still, we could have forgiven Sergeant Pett if Korea hadn't sucked enough already and if he hadn't taken such pleasure in our humiliation. He scorned our grammar, mocked our opinions, laughed at our shortcomings. After a victory, he'd tilt back in his chair, hands threaded over a drunk's emaciated body in shabby uniform, and delight in our defeat. We hadn't invited him out tonight. We'd bar-hopped in an effort to shake him, but somehow he'd caught up at the Komodo. And now in the chair outside our circle, he was passed out cold. Wiley plucked the burning cigarette from his fingers and argued with Bell over the usage of a singular or plural ass. Ass, as in Charlie Flight's ass, Wiley said. Asses, and I have one, and you can keep yours to yourself, said Bell. Too bad Sergeant Pett's not awake, said Sawyer. He'd know the answer. Dick always knows the answer, I said. Sergeant Pett's name was Richard. He'd asked us to please call him Rich. The Ajima wanted us to leave. Time to go. Curfew, she said. Cho made an ah shucks motion with her arm. It wasn't fair that Charlie Flight's break should fall in the middle of a week. We wanted a little more time to drift in our shapeless, careless world. Cho was flying home in a week to a dying mother. Belle had a sister to put through college. I had a year left in my enlistment. Because Wiley liked the nightlife in Yoja, he was extending in Korea. Sawyer was too, but because he'd gotten a juicy pregnant, his wife didn't know. Once someone described Sergeant Pett's house in Maryland to us. Floor-to-ceiling beer bottles, a TV, a worn leather armchair, and an overspilling ashtray. Sergeant Pett told us he liked Korea better because, at least here I have someone to talk to. We had 3 minutes to curfew. A juicy and a pink boa sauntered over to show us out. Ah, I never got Sergeant Pett a gift, Wiley said. You didn't give me one, said Belle. But this is Sergeant Pett, come on, we gotta give him something. Yeah, after all he's given us, Cho said. With a roll of the eyes, we all understood. 3 minutes and counting, Wiley draped the pink boa over the sergeant's shoulders and sat on his lap. The rest of us gathered around, and the juicy took a photo with Belle's camera. The sergeant never woke up. Outside, Wiley and Sawyer dragged the sergeant between them. Belle saw a friend and ran over. Cho and I hung back a little ways. She sighed. I guess every flight needs a guy like Sergeant Pett. An ass, I said, or did we decide it was ass says? You know, a fall guy. Someone who takes the fall so everyone else can get along. I watched Wiley and Sawyer hoist the sergeant to his feet. If they couldn't get him to stand, he'd spend the night in the tank. I never really thought about it, I told her. I guess Sergeant Pett gave us something after all.
Britt Ahmet is a writer and storyteller who has performed at many Twin Cities venues, including The Fringe, Two Chairs Telling, and Patrick's Cabaret. Her screenplay placed third out of 10,000 in the 2010 Slam Dance Screenwriting Competition. And also in 2010, her book, Superheroes, Strip Artists and Talking Animals, Minnesota's Contemporary Cartoonists, was published by Minnesota Historical Society Press. Here at the year end, I would like to thank Britt and every other writer who contributed to make You Are Here possible. I'd like to thank the people at mnartist.org, the Walker Art Center, and the McKnight Foundation for allowing me this opportunity. And I would like to thank everyone who downloaded and listened. I hope you enjoyed what you heard. Our editorial themes for 2013 are available now at mnartist.org and on the podcast's Facebook page. So write, record, and submit. I'd really appreciate it. And finally, before I wrap up this edition of the podcast in this first year, I would like to end with a poem that's the closest I've ever come to writing a Christmas poem. It's called Lukewarm. This wasn't supposed to be another poem about somebody falling through lake ice. Unfortunately, Minnesota winters have their own ideas, so here I stand watching shadows of neighbors fish out a boy of 9 or 10 who woke up early to try the new hand auger he unwrapped yesterday at Christmas. I can hear the kid choking on dark water. He's more alive than he'll ever feel again. I'm still half asleep, hiding behind this frosted kitchen window, curious why I never make it out to help. I top off my lukewarm coffee cup, wondering if, when, somebody will rescue me from myself, and what a gift that would be. You Are Here is a monthly literary podcast production of MNArtist.org. MNArtist.org is a joint project of the Walker Art Center and the McKnight Foundation. The mission of MNArtist.org is to improve the lives of Minnesota artists and provide access to and engagement with Minnesota's arts culture.